We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's going on, Bulls Nation? Welcome into the CHGO Bulls Podcast, presented to you by PointsBet. Don't forget that promo code CHGO when you sign up to live your bat life. I'm Peck. You can follow me on Twitter at Bulls_Peck. This is my guy. That's my steak. That's my guy, Big Dave. He's at Bal BAWL Sports. Back in the magic circle, it's Will the Goat Gottlieb. He's on Twitter at Won't Gottlieb. Our guy, our pal, our producer, Joey, hanging out with us here at our downtown studios, running the controls. Joey, how are you, sir?
I'm good, Matt. How are you? Thanks for asking.
I am great, buddy. Will, how you doing, bud?
I'm also doing great. Thanks for asking.
How are the most recent travels down there in Brazil?
I love that you just said, I'm Matt, that's my steak. That was great. travels are good. We are back in the home base town, and it's cold. I forgot about cold weather for a little bit there, and I'm not sure I love it.
I mean, what's cold?
It's not like Chicago cold.
But okay, like all right, degrees. All right. Thank you. All right. Please, you gotta bring it right now.
Before we send these chairs and started this show, Dave was just telling me, he's like, oh, man, I'm so ready for winter. Yeah. That's my jam. I was like, dude, I'm enjoying summer. I'm in no hurry to get back to NBA season. I mean, I miss basketball, but.
Yeah, very much so. I love the winter. The only thing that sucks about the winter is I can't wear shorts all the time. Like, I feel about pants how you feel about shoes.
Hello.
In the summer. Like, I don't like wearing pants. I enjoy wearing shorts all the time.
Yeah. Pants suck.
Yeah.
So do closed-toed shoes.
Eh.
You know what doesn't suck? What's up, Will?
I have a disease where I'm always looking forward to basketball season. The other day, and we're going to talk about it today, the Vooch extension. I was asking our guy Keith Smith some questions on Saturday morning about when Vooch was able to start doing his extension talks before all this Joe Colley stuff actually came up. And he was like, Will, it's August. Chill out. It's like, I can't. I'm diseased.
He is diseased.
I mean, this is the deadest of the dead period right now.
Yeah.
There's something wrong with me.
Things will start picking up real soon.
Here we still are.
Yeah.
Five shows here. A week.
And can't wait to keep talking.
We got so much
tomorrow
to talk about.
And the next day and the next day. I do have a question before you begin.
Okay.
Joey, where is your graphic?
My graphic?
Yes. Matt has one. I have one. Will has one. Where is yours?
Yeah, like when you put a steak on my face.
Yeah, like when you put
Where's
ball
the
on
Joey
my face.
Graphic?
Right. Where's right. yours?
Well, part of it is like, you know, it's very visually based. You know, it was originally supposed to be that it goes, Big Dave's is still in place. Mm-hmm. Pex is a little far to the right.
Mm-hmm.
And Goat Leap Circle seems to have moved. There you go. Now it's a little better.
It's perfect.
But I'm not on the screen, so I got to figure out.
But since you're not on the screen, that's more reason you should have a graphic put up when we say your name.
All right, okay, I'll work
True
on
story.
It.
True story.
I'll work one. On it today after the show.
All right.
Thank you.
All right.
But you know what Joey helped execute yesterday, which got a lot of love on Bulls Twitter and just Twitter in general because it was super cool. Uh-huh. Put up this awesome GOAT graphic you made, Joey. And we're not talking about Will, the GOAT Gottlieb. We're talking about the GOAT. In case you missed it on Twitter yesterday, So this is like a cool little quadrant graphic right here of MJ, the famous all six rings on his hand.
I love it so.
And then when you open each image up, oh, on the top and bottom, you get a little surprise. Each image has foes that have been vanquished by MJ's Bulls of the 90s, looking sad, looking confused, looking angry. I love this so much. This is one of my favorite things I've ever seen. Yeah. This is right up Petty Pack alley,
yeah,
dude.
Yeah, yeah. I'm a little petty as well. So this, I enjoyed every part of this when I saw it. The only thing I wanted to see, I was like, wait a minute, where's the Lakers? Because I wanted to see some of the Lakers up there too. But I don't have a problem with how it was put together and how it looked. I laughed at it. I looked at it several times. Dude. I retweeted it and liked it as quickly as
so
possible.
So Magic and that Lakers team were on their last legs in 91.
Don't want to hear that.
And Magic was happy for MJ for finally getting over that hump.
Don't want to hear that.
I am much happier that Reggie stupid Pacers and that the Starks Ewing stupid Knicks got included in that graphic over Magic and
again,
the Lakers.
Like I said, I'm not mad at it. I'm not mad at all. But it was just the fact of the six rings. I know I wanted the team who he beat, but I get why he put him in there. And it was a great decision. And you heard the laughter. I am happy. You did a wonderful, wonderful job, Joe.
Thank you. I'd like to give a shout-out to Kevin Kaduk and Casey Standahar. It was I think it was their idea. They just reached out to me to help put it together. But I had some questions. Like, I was like, do we put Isaiah Thomas in here? He got the best of Jordan a bunch of times. Same – Clyde Drexler ended up winning a ring when Jordan retired briefly. But – so I was like, do we want to put Tim Hardaway in here? You know, I'll defer to you guys because, as you know, I have stated many times I was not alive during this era of Bulls basketball. So I'm really just guessing.
I feel you. And you're right to ask those questions. Those are very valid questions, especially the one about Detroit. But also with them walking off the court was beautiful. And so, yeah, I don't mind that part being in there. But everybody you chose, I'm okay with. Like, I'm not mad that the Lakers weren't in there because everything I saw, I'm like, we murdered a lot of people on the basketball court. So it's okay. You chose wisely. I enjoyed it. Will, how did you feel about it when you saw it?
I think we glossed over this. That laugh that you just did, I don't know what the word for that. That was something. That was like a full minute straight of evil laughter. That was impressive. I love it. I don't know what else to say. It was perfect. I'm not going to make any criticisms. It was perfect.
Favorite one is Charles with his hand over his face like this. It's so good.
Joey, were you specifically looking for depressed pictures that, of players like that?
Yes. Yes. Okay. There was multiple things where I sent it, and Casey was like, I think we could find a picture where Barkley looks a little sadder.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, so we had to play that part up a little bit.
Brilliant. I also love the one of him where you can see the backs of the jerseys of Sean Kemp and Gary Payton in the foreground, and then in between them in the background is Jordan turning around the other way looking like this. Yeah. Like, these motherfuckers.
Yeah, you stink. I think one that would have been great for the Knicks one was when Jordan did that and one on Patrick Ewing, and then he got in his face, he stood over him and yelling at him like that. That would have been great, too. But, again, that's just nitpicking, man. This was awesome. I loved it. I adored it, Will. I loved it, so.
Yeah, this is like saying, oh, they should have won by 30 when they won by 25.
Exactly, exactly. Like I said, it's nitpicking, and that's all it is, man. I don't have a problem with anything that is on that screen and on that that right there. It was amazing. It was amazing, man. Great job.
They won the series in six games. They should have won it in four.
Seinfeld popped in my head. We won the World Series in six games.
Well, we're about to put something on the screen that I do want to nitpick, and I don't know if you guys also want to nitpick it, but as we've gone through each of these lists as they've been released, Hoops Hype is ranking their top 25 players for the upcoming 22-23 season at every position. Mm-hmm. They've done point guards. We talked about Lonzo Ball slot. They did shooting guards. We talked about Zach, who came in at number four on that list. Next up is the small forwards.
Yeah.
Joey, do we have that list? Hoops Hype, at least the top 10 we'll show you guys. Because DeMar did make the top 10, but all the way up at number 8. You see Bridges and Middleton rounding out the top 10. Above DeMar going in descending order there, Ingram, Paul George, Jimmy Buckets, LeBron, Kawhi, KD, and number 1, Jason
taking Tatum. Gentlemen, I have some thoughts on this, but I'd like to hear what you guys have to think before I give you all my thoughts. Fair or foul that DeMar, second team All-NBA, eighth on this list?
Joey Crawford, foul. You know what I'm saying?
Blocking charge?
Yes, man. You holler whoever ref you want to pull out there. Foul. Eighth? Word? Foul. Stop the game. It was. I thought they did point guards correct. I didn't have a problem with that. I thought they did shooting guards correct. Didn't have a problem with that. Listen, I can sit and argue about how I feel about Jimmy Butler being number five because I don't think he should be number five. And I can sit here and complain about Kawhi being there because I don't think he should be that high. And I get why because, you know, he's like, well, he's coming back this year. He didn't play a game. Mm. He didn't play one
game.
Hasn't
played since June of 21.
Not one game. So I have a problem with it. My issue is DeMar DeRozan was second team All-NBA. On this list so far, everybody who was either first, second, or third team All-NBA is in the top five. Everybody. We'll see what the power forwards and centers look like when those lists come out. But so far, everybody who's top three, who's All-NBA, first team, second team, third team, they're in the top five. I wouldn't have been mad if he was sixth. But eighth? Eighth is trash to me on this, what you're doing to DeMar DeRozan. Because of the people you have over him. Again, I said you can argue Jimmy Butler all day long. We get into that. If you want to argue Paul George, you get into that too. Brandon Ingram should not be higher than DeMar DeRozan. That is incorrect. That is when I blew the whistle and almost threw him out the game. That is a foul on the highest level for me. That should not be the case. Brandon Ingram should not be ranked higher than DeMar DeRozan on this list going into this season. I don't want to hear it. Like, DeMar DeRozan, now he had the best season not just of his career. In his year 13, well, he's getting older. The best season of his career. All-star right. Starter. All right, second team, All-NBA.
Top five MVP discussion for like three quarters of the season.
Was in conversation with records he was breaking like Michael Jordan and Wilt Chamberlain. What are you basing this on? I'm very confused by it. Brandon Ingram should not be higher than DeMar DeRozan. That's the main one I had a problem with, Will.
You are really channeling your inner Matt Peck today. With the
ridiculous.
Good.
It's ridiculous. It's in there.
Let the hate flow through you.
Yeah, man, you know, it's not 100%, you know, positivity, brother. You know what I'm saying? It's not 100. It's about 20. It's about 20% negative that comes out every once in a while.
If there's a hat throw in segment two, I will not be surprised.
What do you think, Will?
The idea of this is for next season, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I agree with you. He should be higher. I mean, I think that's basing a lot of it off of Brandon Ingram's playoff performance, which was outrageously good. He was 27, 6.2, 6.2 on 47.5, 40, 83. Mm-hmm. So, like, he really had a coming out party. And so I think that is kind of being baked into their rating here.
Mm-hmm.
But with all due respect, like, put the, you know, the all-NBA second team, all-star starter person ahead of him until it actually changes. Same thing with like Steph being number two on the list for point guards as opposed to, or Luka was number one, Steph was number two. Like this is Steph's. And I think they did it with Tatum. Like Tatum probably earned that just based on like where he finished last year and the way that he like carried this team to the finals and to game six of the finals. But like, do we really think he's better than Kawhi, Kevin Durant, LeBron? I'm not really sure. And maybe he like gets to be that next year, but I think that's kind of what it's a forward looking thing. So like, I get it. I get what they're trying to do.
Right.
Even if I think it's like a little bit wrong, I at least get like what they're trying to do.
I mean, like Tatum's the best player.
The logic is consistent, you know,
right.
Like they did it with Luka. They did it with Steph. They
yeah.
Did it with Tatum over LeBron. And you know
they're trending
I mean?
Younger, I think is what's going on here. And like, well, we're looking ahead to
the
next season.
Exactly. The idea is like, well, by the end of next season, these guys will be better. But
right.
I just don't know if that's actually what they're trying to do. It just seems like that.
Maybe they see DeMar DeRozan trending down, which, by the way, happy belated 33rd to DeMar DeRozan just the other day. Turned 33.
Congratulations.
Like a fine wine.
Like the finest of wines.
Also, it's hilarious that we think of DeMar DeRozan as this old fogey player, and I'm like, he just turned. He's 2.5 years younger than me.
Him and Jimmy Butler are the same age. Damn it! Like, hey, what are we talking about here, man?
I hate that I feel so old when I realize the old guys in the NBA. Like, oh, he's 32. I'm like, oh Jesus.
Yeah, NBA old is a different kind of old.
It's a different kind of old.
NBA
man.
Old is a different kind of old.
I used to be younger than NBA players.
Oh, will you move on? Will you get over it? Move on.
I
man.
Will not.
All right, we're all happy you're still here. This is life. This is what happens.
Okay, but so I think that's why it's like Ingram is still young, right? Like, isn't he 25 still?
Will?
He is 24, I believe.
Yeah, not quite 25, which is crazy. Trending up, maybe DeMar with this age trending down. Although, as you said, he just had the best season of his career. Arguably one of the best two seasons of his career.
But I think that's another point, though, is like, is there any way DeMar, and this is like a conversation that we'll be having for the rest of the summer and into next season, is like, is there any way DeMar is actually this good again? Because it's so unlikely, and like, it never happens where you have a career year at age 32, especially when you're already really good. It's just like so impressive what he was able to do, both in terms of like on an every game basis, but also like hitting game winners, breaking all-time records from Wilt Chamberlain. Like, there's no way he can accomplish that again. I just think that they're kind of like, they're factoring in Ingram getting better and DeMar getting a little worse. And so I get where it's coming from. I still think it's wrong and that you should, at the very least, like, you know, he should be around 6 or 7 as opposed to 8. Like, yeah, I don't know. I guess I get it, but it's frustrating and I think it's wrong.
Yeah,
it's frustrating, and again, I'm not trying to dig into your boy right here, Will. I'm just using him as an example, but your boy Jimmy Butler is also the same age as DeMar DeRozan. So when you're talking about you're basing this on age and it's moving down, Jimmy Butler is still to them a top 5 forward in the league,
right?
And last year Jimmy Butler was chilling during the regular season. Chilling.
Yeah.
Because he knows he's getting older. He was saving it up for the playoffs, and we saw the phenomenal performance that he had when he got in the playoffs.
Right.
That's what older players who are on the downslide start to do. DeMar DeRozan basically tried to play every game last year. And then when he got to the playoffs, there's the reason that the Bulls won the only game they did, because he dropped like 40-plus in that bad boy.
Right.
That's the point I'm out here trying to make. DeMar DeRozan, what is the difference here that we're talking about? That's what I don't get right there. That's exactly where I get lost in that kind of argument, Will.
I love Angry Dave.
I'm because there's no logic. I'm trying to get and Will's right. I see they're like, oh, the trend, they're going with the younger guys, trending up, you know what I'm saying, and doing it like this. But then I'm looking at your list and you got LeBron and you got Jimmy Butler. So I'm like, are we trending up, or are you just going by names and what they've done in the past previously? That's why I'm concerned.
And it's especially, it's true too, because like, yeah, to your point, like if you're going to discredit DeMar for slightly, you know, maybe trending the wrong direction, you probably have to deal with Jimmy too. I mean, I do think Jimmy is better than DeMar, maybe not at scoring, but like pretty much everything else. Like, he's a better defender by a huge margin.
Mm-hmm.
He's actually proven to carry his team to the conference finals and finals. I think he's as
Bubble.
Good, if not playmaker and decision maker. So, I mean, I think they're very similar players. I'm not mad about Jimmy being ahead. I think they're probably around neck and neck if Jimmy's not like a hair better. But again, Jimmy's 3 spots higher. And I think there's a big difference there.
That's what I'm saying. That's exactly my point, Will.
Also, was Jimmy second team All-NBA?
Jimmy was no team All-NBA. But that's my point of what Will is saying right there. It's not that I think, you know, now he's arguing DeMar or Jimmy being better.
Yeah.
I'm saying they're right there. Like, if Jimmy 5, then I got DeMar 6. If DeMar is 5, then I got Jimmy 6. Like,
right.
I think it's right there. That's my argument.
What do you think of Paul George? Because he's at 6.
Eh.
No. He shouldn't be 6. I don't have him there at 6. I would have him. For me, he's 7, 8, 9, 10. That's why I would have
Paul and Kawhi both being ahead of DeMar is disrespectful. Because I can let you have one of those guys ahead of him.
Yeah.
But as Clippers teammates, one of whom missed all of last season, and one of whom, Paul George, who could not get his Clippers to get their shit together without Kawhi, how are you that good?
Yes. That's the only problem.
DeMar led the Bulls to the number one seed in the East for 2/3 of the season. For the love of God. Okay, before we move on, Joey, do you have that player comp? The one that is the most egregious, I think, is still Brandon Ingram. Thank you. Throw that up there. Okay, as you'll note, they have the exact same identical, not very good defensive rating, 115. DeMar's offensive rating, 6 points better than Ingram's per 100 possessions. Field goal percentage across the board.
DeMar,
by a lot. Three-pointers. Three-point percentage, DeMar's even better on fewer attempts, but still. Free throw line, better. Rebounds and assists, Ingram has a slight edge. Points per 100, 37.7 to 32.9. It's a huge margin. What is this crap?
Dude, I didn't realize he had almost had 7 assists a game. That's insane.
Well, so that's per 100.
But that's still crazy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That was that high. I didn't even put that together. But the biggest one on there to me right there, Matt, the two things, the age, 32 and 24, games played after that one. Look at the games. Look at the games. 76 games to 55. All right, he's an old man. He shouldn't be out there doing it. He's out there doing it. All
76
right.
76 games playing for DeMar's parade. Only 55 for B.I.
Will, help. We broke it into musical songs.
Help!
I don't know if I can. I think that you guys are beyond help at this point.
Will, you've been gone too long, man.
Don't give up on us, Will.
We are just barely holding on to our sanity by a thread. You need to come home.
Don't give up on us, sir. Please don't give up on us.
I would never give up on you guys.
Okay, so there that is. We'll see what happens with the next Hoop Hype rankings that come out at Power Forward. Also, I'm curious if any of these players will overlap and be in multiple positions or if it's just strictly.
Go ahead, Will.
You guys think Pat will be in the top 25?
I don't think so. I don't believe so.
I don't think so. And he shouldn't be.
I don't think so either. We'll see.
We'll see.
We'll see if we have anything to talk about tomorrow. We'll
And by the way, I saw in the comments, shout out and happy birthdays to Brian, who turned 36 today.
Congratulations, sir.
And Dontavius, who turns 19 tomorrow.
Oh, there you go.
Go out and enjoy your youth.
Yes.
My friend.
Both of you. Both of you go out and enjoy your youth.
There's no youth left in 36.
Oh, man, you got to hang out more then, man.
Oh, I hang out plenty. I just pay for it the next day.
Well, then we got to – well, you know what? I'm not going to get into it. Not going to get into it. But Will knows it starts with the AGs, baby, and that's what's going to help you out.
I was just going to say it. You got to drink your athletic greens, my dude.
I prefer to try to keep myself young by having a lot of fun on PointsBet.
Ooh,
that's how I stay young.
Look at this guy, Will.
That's how I stay young. Today's episode brought to you guys by PointsBet. Don't forget that promo code, CHGO, when you sign up. If you do it right now, you're going to get those two risk-free bets up to $2,000. But that's not all. If you make a $50 or more first-time deposit, you'll receive a free CHGO membership, which unlocks all of our great web content. You'll even get a free shirt of your choice from the CHGO Locker.
Awesome.
That's $2,000 in free bets, free CHGO membership, and a free shirt from the CHGO Merch Locker, all for just making a $50 first-time deposit at PointsBet. And you want to do that anyway, because it's your home for live in-play betting, and it just got even better. We are so close to football betting season.
Right,
so damn close.
Right.
Is your favorite team primed for a comeback? Maybe you see an edge in the game you're watching. Don't just watch the game, bet along with it live. More live betting, more live markets, faster live cash outs. Cha-ching! Download the PointsBet app right now and use promo code CHGO. So what are you waiting for? It's time to elevate your live betting game. Once the game starts, don't just bet. Will the thrill!
You live your bet life.
Oh, he's getting – oh, I love it, man. He's getting more and more creative with these, man. I love this, dude. This is amazing.
Just trying to keep up with you guys.
Oh, come on, Will.
All right, guys. You want to talk about Vooch? Let's talk about Vooch.
Vooch.
So there was this report a few days ago from our pal Joe Cali, Chicago Sun-Times. And he was – if you recall, we had a conversation with him before – joining on to CHGO last season on our old platform, Dave, about the Vooch hate among this Bulls fan base while he was kind of having a rocky up and down season. Mm-hmm. And Kylie was certainly one of those defending Vooch and saying, okay, yeah, he's not shooting the three ball all that well this season, but he does this, 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 and this.
Correct. Correct.
The Bulls need him to do this, this, this.
It's very logical. And we agree vehemently with a lot of things he was saying.
Which is not common for some of the takes that our pal Joe Cali has about these Bulls. But, Joey, let's take a look at this excerpt from Cowley's latest, saying, a source said both sides want Vucevic to stay with the team beyond the last year of his contract this coming season and will have initial discussions on what that might look like when training camp begins in the fall. What do we think about this, gentlemen? I don't think anybody was really thinking about a Vuce extension until Cowley put this out here.
Yeah, like I it wasn't on my mind. Honestly, I wasn't even thinking about it, at least for this season. I wasn't thinking about it at all. But there obviously seems like there's mutual interest on both sides of wanting him to stay. And Will is going to break down the reasons why and reasons why not, I'm sure. But what do I think about it? Okay. I'm not mad about it. I'm not upset about it. Vooch is a good center in the NBA, man. Like, it's who he is. Like, you're getting a double-double when he gets out there on the floor. You're getting a center who's going to spread the floor. You're getting a center who can pass the basketball. You got that in Nikola Vucevic. That's the kind of player that he is. His down year, and I said it a million times, his down year is 17-11. That's a down year for Nikola Vucevic. That makes him the worst.
As the third option.
As a third option on the team, he's 17-11. And also was an Iron Man. I think that needs to be stated as well. Because that's very rare, honestly, for a big guy that size in the NBA today. Guys aren't playing that many games like that. The reason he was missing games mostly was because of COVID and things like that were going on. But he was out there all the time. So he was relatively injury-free, and hopefully he remains the same going into this season coming up. I'm interested in it because I think you're going to see a motivated Vooch this season. Not one, because he's a man with pride. And he wants to, you know, play better and things like that. But two, he understands he wants his money at the same time. This is the last go-round for that big old contract, for that bunch of zeros behind that number. This is the last time he's going to have that go-round because of the age he is, 32. I don't think he's 33 yet. But, yeah, this is his last time to get it, Will. And so I understand the Bulls wanting to hold on to him because, again, the options out there are very, very slim. When your front office is continuing to preach continuity and say things like that, you want to get the guy you made your first major trade for, and that was Nikola Vucevic. So I'm not upset about it if they want to hold on to him and the fact that there's mutual interest on both sides.
Yeah, it's tricky. I'm frustrated, you guys, because I was working on a story this morning that's going to lay out like all my thoughts and feelings about this whole thing from salary cap perspective, from a on-the-court perspective, and from just like a future-oriented perspective. But our WordPress broke, and I lost all of what I wrote, so I'm feeling frustrated by that.
Oh,
no.
Yeah, so I gotta redo it. It may not come out tomorrow the way I wanted it to.
Man, that just hurt my heart.
Always have a backup on Word, dude. Always.
I know.
He knows.
It's my fault.
It was Brazil Wheel.
Comfortable with WordPress.
Yeah.
I was a little too comfortable.
It was Brazil Wheel. Chicago Wheel would have had the back. Brazil Wheel, Vacation Wheel is a different wheel. Yeah, I understand.
Yeah, you know, you're totally right. But here's the thing. Like, the Bulls don't really have any choices now. Like, they have to extend him. You trade for this guy, you give up future picks, and you're trying to be good. Like, there are only a couple options. You can let him walk in free agency next year. You can re-sign him as an unrestricted free agent next year, which is a little bit dicey because you don't know if he's going to get a better deal from a competitor. You can extend him now, which I think they probably have to do, or you can trade him. They missed the opportunity to trade him. I think his value now is low enough that like whatever they get back is going to help them less than Vooch will. So they're going to have to extend him because otherwise they're going to run into a bunch of salary cap problems. They're going to be right at the cap essentially or slightly below it, which means they won't be able to go out and sign more free agents. They'll only be able to retain their own guys. And so if you let him walk for nothing, it's not like you can go out and sign whatever big name center is out there. Because one, I'm not sure who it is. And two, they just won't have the cap flexibility to do that. So right now their best bet is to either get super lucky and find some great deal for him in a trade where they can move on, get a great replacement on a longer term deal. That's not going to happen. Or you can extend him and look to trade him down the line, or continue to play this game of continuity and hope that, you know, maybe you sign him to a 1+1, you line him up with the end of DeMar's deal, and then you figure it out from there. I think that's really the only option. As far as Vooch playing and the way that he performed last year, obviously it was like not as good as everybody would have hoped. Like, his numbers were just down. His usage was down. His role was down. He was playing a different role than he had been the previous years. He was playing in a more, I mean, they made the playoffs and like he was the focal point of that, which obviously like you need to be a good player for that to happen, but he was playing in a different role in like a much different environment and he didn't perform well enough. But I think that goes like way too far in both directions. Like, people say that he has no problems and that the haters are stupid, and people say like nothing he does is right, they'd be better without him, they should start Tony Bradley, which is obviously also wrong. So the truth is somewhere in the middle. He needs to make more shots. He is not a great defensive player, but he does provide a ton of value as a playmaker, as a shooter. Maybe not in terms of percentage, but in terms of gravity and like drawing defense away from the rim. He still does a lot of things really well, and their best and really only option right now is to extend him. So it's not surprising at all that Cowley is reporting this, because they have basically until June 30th next year to get a new deal done. If that doesn't happen, they'll just have to either let him walk or re-sign him as a free agent.
Let me ask Will something. Will, could you kind of expound though on the value part that you touched on right there? Because I kind of want people just to realize, like, on both sides here, like, looking at it from the Bulls' perspective, like, would you just let him go? Like, you've got Marco and, like you said, Tony Bradley. And out there on the market, I can't really think of another center out there who can give you what Vucevic is able to give you. And so if you try to let him go, the value you get back will be lessened, like you said, than what you're giving away in Vooch, correct?
Yeah, I mean, I'm pulling up the list of free agents now, and we can go through and see if there are any better options. But like, as I said, at the end of the day, they're not going to have money to go out and sign these guys. So really the only way you can make adjustments on the current roster is to retain Vooch, stay over the cap, and then potentially look to flip him down the road, whether it's for draft picks, young players, whatever it may be. But all that to say, like, they will only have options if they re-sign him and extend him. If they don't do that, they're losing him for nothing, and they won't have enough money to sign somebody else. We can argue the merits of keeping him or going with like a pure pick and pop specialist or a lob threat, like Daniel Gafford type, or, you know, just somebody that can only space the floor. Like, Vooch can do a little bit of everything, and he has to be able to do all those things in order for him to fully, like, you know, show his value. And in order for that to happen, he needs to be better than he was last year. But at the same time, no matter who else they could possibly get, I don't think they're going to be as good as Vooch. Like, for example, Miles Turner has been dangled on the free agent market. Like, he's I don't think he is a better shooter. Their percentage is about the same. He's a much better ring protector. And that's great, but then you sacrifice rebounding, and he also doesn't allow you to switch everything. You know, he's maybe a little bit of a better drop defender, but you're not getting all that much better, while you're also losing a ton in the way of playmaking and rebounding. So there isn't like an all-around center that could just like slot in really simply and give the Bulls a much better option. And so I think there's this idea that like the Bulls can just find somebody else, or, you know, they shouldn't have made the trade, and I hate Vooch because they gave up 2 picks and Wendell Carter. Okay, well, it happened, and you have to like live with that now. And you can either look to trade him for somebody like Rudy Gobert, which obviously didn't happen, or you can kick the can down the road by giving him an extension and hopefully finding a way to replace him down the line. The fact that he had a year and a half left on his deal, actually it was 2.5 years left on his deal, with a descending salary, like, it was, I think, a smart financial move. They obviously didn't end up paying Wendell, but at the end of the day, it's like, you know, you can either get rid of him or you can keep him. But if you get rid of him, you create a ton more problems than if you were to keep him. Now, if you keep him long term and you extend him beyond that, then there's like a whole other conversation of, you know, Vooch is 33, and are we paying him to be the starting center at age 34, 35, 36? Probably not such a great idea. So they will need to find a longer term solution. But again, if the idea is to win now, he's probably the only realistic option. And to do that, you have to give him an extension.
I see local Bulls fan in the chat saying Vooch doesn't have to worry about playing 35 plus minutes a night with Drummond coming in to take the pressure off. Now, you know, you mentioned the options behind Vooch that were not great last season and in even the season prior. I don't know if you guys saw it. It was making its way around NBA Twitter the other day. I think it's like that NBA Math Twitter account or NBA Index, like B-Ball Index, whatever, doing all these graphs this offseason. And the most one of the most recent ones was big men in the NBA and XY axis graph. Yeah. X axis was quality of shot at the rim, and Y axis was scoring at the rim. Mm-hmm. So, like, efficiency here, quality of shot here. Mm-hmm. Halfway across the X axis, quality of shot was Andre Drummond. 1 millimeter above just the x-axis, no higher up the y-axis, Andre Drummond.
Andre Drummond, yeah. It's true. We saw it.
Way higher up along the y-axis of finishing at the rim, even though it seemed like he was missing bunnies all season long, Nikola Vucevic. So, look, I mean, I still think that Vooch, despite the fact that he is over the hill, and some would say coming off a down year, very important to the Bulls playing well and the Bulls winning games this coming season. And maybe not 35 plus minutes a night every night, but 30 plus, absolutely.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
You need that from him. Who knows? And we can continue to talk about the options the Bulls have as far as the contract, but for this coming season, no offense to Andre Drummond, but give me Vooch for as many minutes as Vooch is able to play.
No, and I feel you on that. And I want Drummond to be good. I think we all want Drummond to be successful. But the person we truly want to be successful is Nikola Vucevic, because it's not going to matter Andre Drummond's success of this team if Vucevic is not having that year. You know what I mean? Then we're talking a lesser Bulls team, and I don't think any of us want to see that. So, yeah, we want to see Vooch have that year and come back stronger and knowing that he's that guy. Like, it could be a mental thing with him. It could be an age thing. I don't know. It was a lot to be desired. You know what I'm saying? Watching him play. Some games he was on, a lot more games he was off. But again, he still can come out there and give you that 17 and 11. He still can provide that passing. He still can be a threat from that three-point line. He doesn't need to take six a game like the Bucks were giving him like that, but that's the shots that they were giving him. But, yeah, like, he's the one that, if you're looking at the centers on the team, you're like, he's the one that has to make it go for this team, not only because of the center position, but, like you said, Matt, the third best player on this team. Like, your third best player has to have that impact, man. So, big year for Vooch, man, no matter how you slice it, Will.
Every year, the Bulls have a center, and just nobody can agree on them. Like, everybody always shits on the Bulls centers, dating back to – like Wendell or Robin Lopez or, you know, whoever else was before him. Like, these guys are, they're not like super duper all-star. It's like such a tough position. It's very rare that you're able to switch everything, shoot, rim roll and catch lobs, and also like defend on the perimeter and protect the rim. Like, nobody can do that. So you have to sort of specialize. And Vooch did not do a great job defending in the pick and roll this past year. But people got really pissed at Jim Boylan for making Wendell trap at the point of attack all the time. So it's like you can't have everything with a center. I think the things that Vooch is good at, he's good enough at across the board that it gives the Bulls a lot of versatility. But like, he also needs to be better. That's how it is. You need to be better, especially as that third member of a big three. You need to shoot better than 31%. You need to be able to move your feet a little bit quicker and clean up some more of the messes that happened because the Bulls gave up so many points at the rim. At the end of the day, like, Vooch looked a lot better when Caruso and Lonzo were healthy because they can make up for a lot of the areas where he struggles. And that's a whole separate question of like, why do the Bulls, like, what are they going to do if Lonzo's not healthy? Like, I think we all recognize that things are not going to be good if. Exactly. So I do think Vooch has some room to return back to what he looked like, you know, even just the half season when he came over to the Bulls, where he was more of the second option, where his numbers went down a little bit, but he was still shooting 38-39% on threes. He does need to be better, but he's also not anywhere close to as bad as I think a lot of people make him out to be.
There were some old quotes that Cali pulled up from Vooch's exit interview at the end of this past season that I thought were interesting as we talk about Vooch adjusting to his role on a new team and a new system, and if he can pull those numbers back up a little bit while also knowing that his role is going to be smaller than it was in Orlando when he was the guy. So I want to reference those and discuss them a little bit. We will do that coming up next. But first, Big Dave, you want to tell the people that all they need is a little thing called Only What You Need?
Oh, just a little thing. First of all, I want to say how awesome it was. You said, I'm going to walk into traffic. And Will was like, exactly. Like, he's like, yeah, I get it. I know where I'm at. I know who's dealing with this.
Shout out to our guy Cody from CHGO Cubs.
Yes, man.
Absolutely stole that from him.
He's ready
he
to be
He threatens to walk into traffic twice a day.
And he's ready to be hurt.
When he's talking about his Cubs.
Yeah, man. Strong human being. let me tell you about Owen, though, since I got you here, because it's only what you need. Because it's that 100% plant-based protein shake that gives you that nutrition that works as hard as you do, as Matt does, as Joey does, as Coach does, as Lawrence does, as I do, and definitely as the GOAT does. All of their products are artificial ingredient-free, allergen-friendly, no gluten or dairy, and easy on the tummy because it's easily digestible. And you know who else supports this? That young man who will lead the Bears to new heights. QB1, Justin Fields.
You see that passing through the Mooney today?
Did I?
Woo!
Did I see it? The question is, how many times did I see it? The answer is a whole damn lot. Oh,
R.I.P. Roquan.
But he is definitely down with Owen, y'all. So to make it easy for you, Owen and CHGO have partnered up to give you this awesome offer. You can get 20% off your first purchase at liveowen.com and just use the code CHGO20. That's 20% off your first purchase, y'all, at liveowen.com using the code CHGO20. So won't you join all of us and join Justin Fields and try Owen, because it is only what you need. And you know what else you need and why you want Owen so bad? Because Owens, Joey,
Win.
That was a no-look lob, too. That was a good one right there.
Yeah, that's why he caught me off guard.
But it went in. I knew you was ready.
You kidding me? I've got a crazy, like, catch radius near the rim. Just throw it anywhere up there. Vertical spacing is out of control, right, Will? You like those terms?
Stromile Swift.
You know I love vertical spacing. I'll take any kind of spacing at this point.
I heard that.
Yep, okay. Sorry, I just got distracted thinking about how sad I am about Roquan Smith asking for a trade.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah,
we can move past it, but you should, if you after finish this show, go back and listen and watch CHGO Bears with our guys Adam and Nick and Will, who had a great episode just now before us talking about that bombshell coming out of training camp today. Not great.
Yeah.
Not the best. Okay, guys, so... as I said, Cali pulled up a couple of these old thoughts from Vooch from his exit interview and how they may relate to this whole idea of continuity that we keep talking about with the lack of big roster shifting moves this offseason. Mm-hmm. Will, you and our guy Marquet talked about that whole concept extensively in a recent HQ Friday episode.
Shout out.
And this is what Vooch had to say. I'm just going to read a couple of thoughts from him real quick. He said, I do think we have the talent to match up with all the teams in the East. Nothing happens overnight. Nothing happens in one season. It takes time. As a group, you have to go through the ups and downs of the year, the successes, the failures, whatever it is. All that gives you an opportunity to grow and get better. For us, I think that could really happen. We believe we have the pieces needed to build a successful group. All the guys are motivated. So, yeah, I don't see any reason for us to panic and take the group apart, end quote. You know what that sounds a whole lot like?
Tell me.
Everything that Arturis Karnišovas said to the media anytime he was asked about making big roster-changing, life-changing decisions, saying, we like our group. Why didn't you do anything crazy on draft night? We like our group. Why didn't you do anything crazy at free agency? We like our group. It seems like that is the party line, and it makes sense that this report from Cali is suggesting that Vooch and the Bulls front office are on the same page about keeping him around for at least another year past this upcoming season.
Yeah, it makes a whole lot of sense, man. And It's just honestly for me, I'm gonna look at this positively. It's just a good thing for me. Like seeing a guy that is your third best player and knowing he wants to be there, especially dealing with what I'm dealing with Roquan Smith right now. But knowing that a guy wants to be there and he believes in the team as he does, you know what I mean? Like these Chicago Bulls are good enough. And it's not just lip service. You know what I'm saying? Like there's actual fact about what he's saying. It's not just him talking like, oh no, we gonna grow. It's gonna get better, guys. Ready for another 30-win season. Like, it's not that. Like, there's good basketball to be had. It just has to come together on the floor for them as and see what it can do this season. So, I feel them. You know what I'm saying? It makes sense. I know it's company speak, and I know, you know, it's just what it is like that. I get all of that.
Mm-hmm.
But I just like the fact that it's truth in it, Will. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's truth and it's actual logic in what he's saying.
Yeah, I mean, it's good PR for sure.
Like, correct.
Also, like, he wants to get paid and continue to play with the Bulls because that obviously he's going to say that. So I think there's truth to it, but also he either, like, had that discussion with Karnišovas as far as, like, what he should say, or he just genuinely believes that they're on track. And that's a separate discussion.
Sure.
I think they've still got a ways to go. I think you guys do, too. But they also, like, again, they just don't have very many options at this point. They are sort of an asset poor team in terms of being able to trade out future picks because they already did that with Vucevic. They don't have a ton of good young players that they can trade out, or they won't with Patrick White, Patrick Williams, and Kobe White. So there's just not a lot they can do. And like I said, if you want to trade Vooch, what's going to happen is you're going to get younger players or draft picks to a team for a team that's like trying to win now. And since you're the team that's trying to win now, there's no point in trading him. So, yeah, I mean, I just think they kind of have to run it back now. They had opportunities to try to make some moves. They would probably need to include Patrick in one of those deals to package Vooch and bring back another center. But that didn't work out, and that's okay. I mean, I think they just kind of have to continue on where they are now because they don't have their own draft picks. They can't really afford to tank or bottom out or blow it up. Like they have to continue on and see if they can get internal development, see if things can come together with more experience and playing time together. And that's kind of what the only option at this point.
I see people in the comments asking about what the contract might look like if Vooch and the Bulls sit down and iron out a new one during training camp. Cowley in his column suggested something as simple and short as a one and one, a 1-year deal with a player option on year two. And then as far as figures, this he's entering the final year of a 4-year $100 million that he signed with Orlando back in 2019. It is de-escalating, so it went 28, 26, 24. Coming into this final season, it'll be 22. I mean, there's depending on what Vooch is looking for, money, consistency, competing deep into a playoff run, and what order those preferences and priorities are in, maybe you can keep him around for under $20 million a year. Wow. I mean, it's possible. I'm not saying it's likely. I'm saying it's possible.
That's a great point that I didn't think of, Matt. You're right, because the other thing, I remember talking to Kendall Gill about this a lot when we were talking about free agency, and Kendall was about his money all the time. And I was like, I get that to number one, but what's number two right behind that? He would always say comfort.
Right.
You know what I mean? That was the number two thing. Excuse me. What can you be comfortable at? And Vooch seems like he's very comfortable here. And obviously he seems like a guy who is loyal. You know what I mean? Staying in Orlando for as long as he did. And actually he's missing Orlando. You know what I'm saying? And not wanting to leave shows you the loyalty that he has. So, yeah, that makes sense. And you mentioned the playoffs, too. It's not like he's got a, you know, deep playoff run, you know what I'm saying, in his resume there. And this is a good opportunity for him to actually have one, you know, with a team that can be good around him. So, those are really good points, Matt, that I think should also be looked at as well, along with the money, because Matt's right. It could definitely impact if it's going to be more or if it's going to be team-friendly.
Yeah, I would probably start with a 1 plus 1, maybe a 2 plus 1. Yusuf Nurkic signed a 4-year $70 million deal starting at 15.6 this year, 16.8, and it continues to rise in the back 2 years. So I feel like that's probably around where I would want to go. That would be like, you know, 2 years, $35 million or something like that. I think that's probably a little less than what Vooch will end up signing to, just because, you know, if it's a shorter deal, he might want more guaranteed money. He's also like significantly older than Nurkic, so maybe that sort of factors in as well. But, you know, I think less than 20 is where I'd be comfortable signing Vooch on a 1+1 or maybe a 2+1, just because, you know, you don't really have any certainty in your like future beyond DeMar's contract, right? And so maybe, you know, you end up signing DeMar to a similar situation of like 1+1 or 2+1. And you kind of continue on this path that you're on now of, you know, hoping for a top four seed. Or you start to change directions. Once the draft compensation that you owe is out, maybe then you start to recoup some of that by trading Vooch or trading DeMar, whatever it may be. But I think on $15 to maybe $17, $18 million per year for 2 years, I think it's a tradable contract for the Bulls. And I think that's realistic market value for Vooch. So that's kind of where I would start.
The other thing that Callie pointed out in this column, as far as what kind of deal they might look at, is the Bulls front office's perspective of trying to maybe line up a new contract for Vooch that is shorter and lines up with specifically Lonzo and Caruso and their contracts. Mm-hmm. And that they've gotten the Zach deal done now. Assuming Zach wants to stay in Chicago and keep trying to build a winner in Chicago, the Zach thing, they've, you know, checked that off their to-do list. Mm. Other than that, and the young pieces like Io and Patrick and figuring out extensions for those guys on their post-rookie deals, then you have the vets, Vooch, Caruso, Lonzo, to figure out, okay, do we want to keep all these guys around? Mm. Or do we want to free up all of that cap space to then go in a different direction to retool around Zach and a couple of the younger supporting role players? And to me, as far as just trying to figure out your timeline, if you're the Bulls front office, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, yeah. And I guess, let me ask Will, like, do you want to give Vooch this? I know that you have to give Vooch, you know what I'm saying, this contract because, of, like you stated, all the options are slim and, you know what I mean, like, on both sides, you know what I'm saying, and it's just not looking like you can do anything but that. But do you want to do that contract, though, in a perfect world?
That's a tough one because I think I've been thinking about it more from like, what do you need to do? As you said, the Bulls basically owe their draft picks out, assuming there's no like crazy random outcomes where they land in the top four and get to keep either this pick in 23 that's owed to the Magic or the pick in 25 that's owed to the Spurs. They basically can't be bad. They can't afford to be bad. And so, I think you kind of have to. I also think that there aren't very many better options. And so, you know, from that perspective, you kind of want to roll it back. But I also think that, like, they're a basketball organization and what they need to do is constantly be thinking about the best thing for the team. And, you know, if they do think at some point that they want to go a different direction or, you know, have a different identity. I mean, I think Vooch really locks you into one style of play, right? Like, he can do some facilitation and pick and pop. You can put him on the post a little bit, but defensively you're very limited. And so you either need to look for a different style of player or a backup that does different things. But if you're trying to be as good as you can right now, I think, yeah, you have to keep him. You have to sign him to this deal. And I think I want them to be good. So I, from that perspective, I think, yeah, I do want them to sign him to this deal.
I think there's a large portion of the fan base that quickly can forget just if a couple of things go differently last season, how vitally awesome of a piece that Vooch is,
yeah,
right?
True.
And Will, I think you mentioned it earlier on as we began this discussion. When Lonzo and Alex were out there wreaking havoc on the perimeter defense, that masked the weaker elements of Vooch's defensive game,
yeah,
right? They complemented them well. Mm-hmm. And gee, I wonder if that's why AK and Eversley went out and signed those guys. Because,
He said it 1,000 times.
And if it's just that and having a healthy Lonzo and Caruso out there to, you know, to mute or at least soften Vooch's defensive liabilities.
Yeah.
And he pulls that 3-point percentage back up a little bit. And again, people have been questioning, was the 40% the outlier and he's more like a career 30, low 30s? Even if he pulls it up from 31 to 36 or 37 this coming season. even if he doesn't pull it all the way back to 40, if it's at least respectable and he's making defenses guard him when he floats out to that perimeter, if those two things happen, Vooch is a dynamite piece.
Yeah.
And it's like so many Bulls fans just assume, well, his defense is shit and his shooting went to shit.
Yeah.
Therefore, Vooch equals shit. And it's like, no, too little and easily could go a different way variables turn Vooch right back into a very valuable player this coming season.
And I think another part of this, Matt, is Marco. I think Marco is another part
Polo?
Of this.
Polo?
Yes, of course Polo. My favorite.
Oh, Simonovic. Remember Summer League?
Yes, I do. The flex. Are you kidding me? How can I forget it?
Ah.
By the way, I was sitting with Will. Since we're talking about flexes, I was sitting on the floor with Will right behind Jerry West and Mark Cuban. That's a flex of the century right there. But I think he's a huge part of this because of the development of Marco. And we know that Nikola is a vital piece of that. He looks up to him like a brother. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's the guy he goes to talk, you know, about basketball. He's the guy he breaks down that tape with. He's the guy he's working out with. He's the guy he's on the court learning these new moves with. And he's somebody that obviously AK and Eversley want to see develop because they want some kind of future for this young man, Marco. And Marco's got the hunger. He definitely wants to be out there, but he's got more developing to do. Vooch is a vital part of that. He speaks the language. You know what I'm saying? Like, he is a huge vital part of that piece of the development of Marco. So I think that kind of factors into it as well when they're talking about bringing him back, because they already have a relationship established and they just kind of want to continue it on so Marco can grow.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think it's nice to have that sort of mentorship for Marco, and I think it definitely has been valuable, but I also don't think they should like keep Vooch around so that they can develop a second round draft pick. You know, they have to do what's best for the outcome of the team this year and in the future. Obviously Vooch can only be part of the short-term future because he's already in his like 33 season. So they do need to solve that problem long-term. Maybe that guy's internal. Maybe Andre Drummond like has a revival and becomes like this awesome, like starting caliber player. I hope that doesn't happen alongside Vooch in lineups, but you know, maybe that's a potential outcome. Maybe Tony Bradley, I don't know. Like, it doesn't seem like there's that guy on the roster, and maybe Marco has the highest ceiling of all the backup guys, but they still need to figure out a long-term solution while they're trying to win now. I think Patrick and Derek Jones are another potential good outcome at center or backup center, just playing a little bit smaller and changing up their style of play. So that's something I would like to see, as you guys know.
Just barely under the wire, we managed to sneak in.
Gotta get the small ball in, baby.
Had
to do it.
Also,
but I do think, Will, I don't think it's the main reason you should hold on to him and bring him back, but I do think it's a factor. I really do. Like, I think it matters because of what they want from Marco. You know what I mean? And they really see kind of, they have a relationship. Your starting center has a relationship, who's good, has a relationship with this guy we're sitting here trying to develop and make a part of our basketball team. And a big part of our basketball team, if we're being serious here. They want him to be a big part of the team. Like, so I'm not saying it's the main reason you hold on to him. You don't just bring him back because, you know, they share cookies and peanut butter and ice cream and shit together. But he definitely helps in the development of him, man. And that's, I think it's part of it.
Colin in the comments said, thanks, Dave. I think people might be sleeping on Marco.
I ain't saying all that, bro. Like,
development of him. Everyone should be sleeping on Marco right now. Wake me up when September ends.
You should be sleeping on. I'm just saying the development of him, getting better. Yes, he continue to sleep. He's got work to do.
DeMond adding, Vooch was missing threes last season because his game was rushed. He had never had been rushed being a featured player. Could be some truth to that. I think he had the yips, man. I just think he had the yips. He was in a new place, new environment, new offense. All right, that's it. We're out of time. Interesting conversation. We will see if we get any more developments on this. As Kylie reported, they could be sitting down and talking about a new contract for Vooch as we get closer to training camp and into training camp to get that done before the season starts. It's possible.
Possible.
Tomorrow, back here in studio, 3 p.m. Chicago time with another fresh episode for you guys. We're continuing on with our evaluations of offseason moves of other Eastern Conference teams. We're going to look at the Toronto Raptors tomorrow, as well as taking a look at ESPN's latest Eastern Conference polls and power rankings. Spoiler, Not a fan of the Bulls.
Really? I'm shocked. They're usually so upbeat about the Bulls. ESPN usually loves them. I am
loves
shocked.
Them. Loves them. Not as much as TNT loves them.
Oh.
Until next time, you can follow our guy, the GOAT, Will Gottlieb, at Won't Gottlieb on Twitter. David's at Bow, B-A-W-L, Sports. I am at Steakface. Just kidding. Bulls _ Bay.
Steakface. I kind of want to look that up now and see if that's available.
I guarantee you there is a Twitter handle that's just at Steakface. And if there's not, there freaking should be. Joey, did you make one for yourself yet while we were doing this episode?
Yep, I did. I did.
Bust it out.
First of all, that's too much.
Hiding behind the drywall.
You come up, everybody.
I know, it is too much.
That
I'm
red
trying
part
to...
right there at the bottom, man.
You're like, right, you're right, you're right.
Here's Joey!
Right, he's like,
well, don't give me the opportunity to make my own graphic.
Well, I'm sorry. I didn't know your head was that big.
Yeah, it is. It is. That's why I don't put myself on there. And then you tell me.
Yeah,
oh,
I thought you had
see.
Some humility about yourself. My
okay,
fault.
All
that's
right.
That's my mistake then.
I do have humility. That's now. Why I've waited to put myself on there. So like I made the things first for you guys. But then you said, make your own. So I was like.
you told me to cover you guys up on the
screen.
All
right.
That's
what you said. For the debut of the Joey graphic, it's got to be big.
He had that ready. You think he had that ready to go?
No, I was trying to figure out how to make it smaller, but I wanted to do like a behind the scenes thing. I'm going to rework it for the next couple.
All right, I support it. I wanted to take up the whole screen. And while you guys were talking about that, I looked up whether or not Steakface is available as Twitter handle. It is not. Somebody has Steakface. So Steakface.
Yeah.
Show your steak face to us in the. Yeah.
But what about steak? What about Bulls _ steak face?
Bulls _
just doesn't make any sense.
That might work.
Bulls _ I don't.
No, we just need to start tweeting at Steakface from our CSGO _ Bulls account and be like, hey, we'll trade you.
Yeah, we'll trade you. Right. We'll trade you.
Keep it locked here on the CSGO Sports YouTube channel. We got White Sox pregame before Sox Royals coming up.
Yeah.
And then we got postgame action for both Cubs and White Sox tonight after their respective games.
Double dose.
White Sox first pitch 6:40, Cubs 7:05.
You better, Tim Anderson.
Oh, man. Between Tim Anderson news and Roquan news,
it's been tough.
No lie, it's been a real shit day for Chicago sports, but that's why we have each other.
That's why I get to see Will, though. Brighten up the day right there.
Will, take care. Stay safe down there in Brazil. We miss you. We'll talk to you tomorrow, buddy. For Will, for Joey, for Big Dave, I'm Peck. Thanks for hanging out with us. As always, Bulls Nation, we'll talk to you tomorrow, 3 p.m. Chicago time, live here in studio. See you, Red. Be good.